Now's the time in the service that we turn to the Word of God. I'm curious today, how many people here have a paper Bible, a book? Hold it up, okay? Hold it up. All right. Now, I need to see how many people have a, what would you call it? Electronic digital Bible. Would you hold it up? My question for those of you that are holding up a electronic Bible, how do you take notes in it? How do you underline stuff? I know that you can, but you got to understand, I can't. Technology is not my thing. We've been talking about when sin creeps into the church. And you need to understand a couple of things here. God loves His church. His Son died for it. He gave His Son to a cross. He loves His church because He loves you and you're part of His church. He wants the church just to be the greatest loving place on earth. And He wants His church to be an army reaching out to the lost all around the world. But when sin finds a way in, it messes everything up. Therefore, God hates sin in His church. And when I talk about sin in the church, sin doesn't knock at the front door and say, "Could I come in?" Sin is not voted on in a church conference. You know how sin gets into the church? You probably know this, don't you? Through us. Our hearts. When our heart turns away from God and sin creeps into our life, sin creeps into the life of the church. Today I want you to try to understand how it happens and why it happens and why you should be on guard. Know it when you see it. And if it has crept into your heart, how you need to deal with it today in your life. We're going through the book of Acts. We're looking at the first three times that sin creeps into the church and has to be dealt with. Couple of weeks ago, remember, we dealt with Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to God about some of their giving. God struck them dead on the spot. Today we're going to examine a portion in Acts chapter 6 where the church is exploding. The Bible says at this point there are over 5,000 men in the church. That means probably some 15, 18, 20,000 altogether. And any time change takes place, sin tries to find a way to creep in. So what we're going to do is dive into the scriptures. I'll be keeping you up. And again, I want you to see how this thing of murmuring, this thing that nobody hardly ever sees, nobody's aware of, but it is the sin that can bring down giants and destroy nations. The sin of murmuring is so hated by our Heavenly Father. Let's start in the first verse, if you've got it there. When sin creeps into the church, when murmuring finds a voice, verse 1. Can you get the first verse up for me, Joe? Thank you. All right. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, the church is just a few months old, but the followers of Christ are not being added to the church anymore. It is multiplying. Great numbers are coming to the Lord. is all believers. These are people who have named Christ as Savior. They've turned to Him. And you would almost think that the church would be the place that you wouldn't have to deal with sin, that you wouldn't have to deal with problems. But here's the first point I want to share with you this morning. The church is vulnerable to sin. Always vulnerable to sin. The church is vulnerable to sin because the church is comprised of you and me. Now, the head of the church, Christ, is perfect, without fault and without blame. But the church is comprised of us. And if we've got some perfect people here, catch me after the service and tell me how you do it. Because I'm going to tell you, I get upset with people. I get frustrated. I mess up a lot. We're not perfect. And since we're not perfect, sin creeps in the church through us. Sometimes it destroys a church. Sometimes it just distracts the church. Sometimes it might keep people that God's dealing with from coming to Christ. But mark this down. Christ is perfect. We are not. As a matter of fact, in the last book of the Bible, Revelations, Jesus addresses an epistle to seven different churches. And in those churches, of five or six of them, He tells them about their problems. And He concludes by saying, repent. And these are churches. But there's a church there in Philadelphia that all He says are good things to them about their patience and about their faith. He finds no fault with them. I want us to be like the church in Philadelphia. I want us to be a church that's focused on the main thing, that the love of Christ is spread abroad. And if Jesus was to take and write us an epistle, all He would do is say, thank You for all You do for me. Oh, that's where we need to be. But sin does. It creeps into the church. I came across this thought the other day. My wife planted a garden beside our house, okay? And we've picked, what, Ginger, a handful of tomatoes? The other day she dug potatoes. We've got probably about 5 pounds of taters. And we've got some squash. But let me tell you, it's a whole lot less expensive to buy them at the grocery store. But one thing you deal with when you plant are weeds. Weeds just seem to want to come up. We see, when we're not focused on Christ, our hearts become fertile ground for that sin of murmuring. And I'm telling you, a weed grows a lot better than your vegetables. It'll just come up, and not only that, it'll have friends come in there and join it, and it'll take over. Our hearts are the problem. It becomes a fertile ground. Now, there are other sins that creep into the church. We've all heard of a church who maybe the treasurer of the church or somebody in the church took off with money. Theft. We've heard of the church where maybe there are some sexual problems coming on that have to be dealt with in the church. But people see those, they hear about those, they know about those. This one almost always arrives unannounced. All right? Stay in the same passage, but the end of the first verse. There was a murmuring of those who spoke Greek. against those that spoke Hebrew. Here's what happened in the early church. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and how many people got saved? How many people got saved? 3,000. These 3,000 weren't all from Jerusalem. It was the Feast of Passover. They had come from all around the Roman Empire. Many of them did not even speak Hebrew. They spoke Greek. They got saved because when God gave the gift of languages, He allowed these Hebrew speakers to speak Greek. They got saved. And the church is comprised of those that came up in the area, those that spoke Hebrew. They were from Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Nazareth, up in Galilee. But the church also got saved from those that were in Asia Minor, in Greece and Turkey. They didn't speak Hebrew, they spoke Greek. But they're all in the church. And the funds from the temple closed up to them because the temple said, they're following a blasphemer, Jesus. We're not going to do anything to help them or feed their poor. So the church did this tremendous food ministry. How, Stan, I have no idea how you'd come up to feed 18 or 20,000 people, but they've got a food ministry going on. And apparently, there was a problem. Problems happen, people. In churches, problems happen. The problem is this: it appeared that the Hebrew-speaking widows that grew up in the area seemed to be getting more food than the Greek-speaking widows that came from afar. It probably wasn't intentional, but they began to kind of look and begin to question, well, is that group over there getting more food than we are? Why did they get more of the bread than we did this time? Maybe it was just a perception, but our perceptions become our realities. So you've got this, what the Bible calls murmuring. It's when you see something and you go, well, I don't like that. And you find somebody else that doesn't like it, and you say, well, I don't like that. Do you like that? And it's almost a whisper. It's a murmur. What did you say? I didn't say anything. Oh, well, I just thought I heard you say something. Just a murmuring. But these disciples are going to have to deal with it. Let me tell you a little bit first about murmuring. You see, the church is especially vulnerable to this sin of murmuring. We see it almost constantly through the scriptures, and that's why the apostles dealt with it so quickly. If you remember, one time the disciples are murmuring about who is going to be first in the kingdom, and Jesus heard their murmuring and set them down and said, the first is last, the last is first. Remember? Jesus told a parable about a farmer who hired a guy early in the morning and gave them a set salary that day. And then he hired somebody about 10 and gave them the same salary. Then he hired somebody after noon and paid them the same salary. Well, the guys who got hired first didn't like it, and they began to murmur. They began to say, well, this isn't fair. And he told the disciples, they agreed to the wage. It was fair. But he was trying to teach his disciples about this thing of murmuring. Life doesn't always appear to be fair. It easily spreads. The disciples also knew the scriptures. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, Israel, they were the champions of murmuring. Oh, they were the champions. When they left Egypt after 400 years of slavery, they murmured. When they got to the Red Sea, they murmured. When they didn't have the right food to eat, they murmured. They murmured in their tents. They murmured when they walked. And from God's perspective, all he hears is just this rumble, just a constant rumble of murmuring. Why has God brought us out here? What are we going to do? Woe is me. Woe is me. He fed them. He gave them water to drink. They didn't like the food and they didn't like what they had to go get the water. But God's taking care of them. Moses made some decisions they didn't like, so they murmured. Constant murmuring. And to show you how God deals with it, Moses also did something else. He took a wife. Moses is a Hebrew. His wife was Ethiopian. Okay. Can you see somewhat of a problem arising here? Not only did it bother the people, Moses' brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, they didn't like it either. They murmured about it. And then the Bible says that the voice of God called Moses, Aaron, and Miriam out before the tabernacle. It was a distinct voice of God that called them out. And the Lord basically said, Aaron and Miriam, this is none of your business. Moses is my leader. I deal with his decisions. You do not murmur about it. And immediately his sister was struck with leprosy and became white all over. She had to be banished outside the city for days, but God did heal her. That's the way God feels about this sin of murmuring. And let me, I've got what here, 4 points I think it is, Joe, about murmuring, very quickly. Murmuring is a sin. Clearly. God takes it personal. When Israel murmured about Moses, God said, why are you murmuring about me? When you murmur about anyone, God says you're murmuring about him. There's a verse passage in Proverbs that says there are 7 things God hates. You know the passage? Let me share it with you. Powerful passage of Scripture. This is from the book of Proverbs. Let me see, chapter 6, starting in verse 16. There are 6 things that the Lord hates. No, there are 7 of them that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies. And listen to this last one. And a man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. And that is what murmuring does. It always stirs up dissension. If we could define it, it would be like this. Murmuring is the soft voice or whisper of dissatisfaction made by an individual or group. It is the soft voice or whisper of dissatisfaction made by an individual or a group. You see, dissatisfaction is discontent. The Bible clearly commands us that we are to be content in all things. But sometimes our hearts become very selfish. And we run to those things that we don't seem fair because out there impacting us. It is so simple, but it's that quiet voice, that silent voice, and it almost spreads like germs, unseen, but it begins to impact everybody. It is that soft voice or whisper, dissatisfaction, made by an individual or group. How do we ever have anything to complain about? We have a God that loves us, a God that dwells with us, a home made in heaven, a promise to meet all of our needs. And sometimes it's not enough for us. We want more. And we complain. God hears. I was talking to you about what happened with Moses in the wilderness. These people murmur so much that God had it up to here. You understand? He had it to here. The Lord told Moses, I'm going to paraphrase this for you. I'm taking them out. I'm wiping them off. I can't deal with these people anymore because nothing he did was good enough. He's taking them to a land that they're going to inhabit, a great land that flows with, as he described it, milk and honey, is fertile. Not enough. I'm going to take them out. Moses says, can't do that, Lord. Can't do that. Be careful when you argue with God. Make certain that there's a strong promise you're standing on. He says, you can't do that, Lord. Remember Abraham and the promise you made to him. You promised to make of him a great nation. That's them. You can't take them out, Lord. He said, I will stand in their place and you can take me out. You can't take them out. You made a promise. God keeps his promises, by the way. Stand on his promises. Let me show you the sequence of murmuring. First, discontent. You come to church on Sunday. It's too cold. It's too warm. Didn't like the songs this morning. Didn't have enough donuts to eat. What other people complain about? The person sitting in front of you, maybe you're falling asleep and they can't see around you. But the point is, there's discontentment. This discontentment becomes murmurings. Well, Violet, what did you think about the temperature today? Was it cold enough or warm enough? And you always find somebody to murmur with. We all do. We find somebody, you'll see them standing in the corner sometimes. Why, Brother Kim preached so long today? You think he's going to keep doing that? Discontent leads to murmurings, and then it leads to complaining. It surfaces. It rises up. Remember, our hearts are fertile soil. The seed that is planted from dissatisfaction is murmuring. And then when it breaks the soil, and you can see it, it's complaining going on. And when complaining is going on, it gets everyone's attention. Everyone's attention. And we cease to focus on the Lord and the Lord's work and what we need to be doing. And the frightening thing is, from disappointment it leads to rebellion. Always leads to rebellion. Well, I'm tired of complaining. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? And the Bible tells us that God sees rebellion as witchcraft. Be careful of what you allow in your heart. And that is the final point here under this. Murmuring is a heart issue. It's when our heart is turned away from God. Maybe it's turned toward people. Maybe it's turned toward frustration. but has turned away from God. Let me give you some practical points of when it arises, okay? It arises when we're in small groups. Nobody in the service here is going to, I take it back. I'm going to tell you a story about when it did happen. But generally speaking, we're not going to be doing murmuring and complaining during church. But when you get in a small group Bible study, or several of you have gone out to eat, it's much easier to begin that murmuring. That questioning, why did they make that decision? Why is he at, why did they pick them? Why is he singing? It's just, we start that murmuring in small groups. Those of you that lead small groups, be careful. Some pastors will not allow small groups in their church for that very reason. They oftentimes lead to complaining and rebellion. The second thing is when we hear the C word. Now, from your perspective, that's the C word. You know what the C word is, don't you? Change. Change. Most of us don't like change. Most of us complain when change comes around. And when change comes around, there's someone's going to say, well, I don't like that. Especially when it affects them. Have you ever noticed that when there's change takes place, most people are okay until it affects them? But when change is happening, that's when you've really got to be careful. And if change doesn't happen, we're in trouble in the church. Because as we reach new people, change occurs. To reach new people, we have to change. Always. But when that C word is heard so often, murmuring comes with it. Sometimes it's when our righteous sensibilities are aroused. You like that? Righteous sensibilities are aroused. I was pastoring a church, and Connie, the teens decided as a fundraiser to have a spaghetti dinner after church. I think it's a good idea. Most of us are going out to eat. We have a dinner at church, and we pay for it, and the teens benefit from it. Good idea, I thought. Middle of church service, right before I was to start preaching, man stands up. Brother Ken, I got to say something. Again, the seed had been planted. Murmuring had been going on. I knew nothing about it. But now it's time for complaining to start. This man stands up, and this is how he phrased it. Never forget it. I can't believe our pastor is allowing this abomination of a spaghetti supper or spaghetti dinner to take place in our church. And as I looked at him, there were several people sitting behind him doing that. Because, again, they had been murmuring together and complaining together. And it always surfaces. Totally caught me off guard. If he had come to me, or someone had come to me and said, Pastor, I've got a problem here. Can we talk? One of two decisions would have been made. Either I would have talked to the youth pastor and said, there's some people in the church having problems with this. I'd like to cancel this and let's find something else to do because it's spiritually offending them. Or maybe I could have explained to them, this is nothing like the money changers in the temple that were just trying to make a profit and put it in their pocket. It's nothing like that. But it arises when, again, a seed of discontent, they probably saw it in the church bulletin on Sunday and said, huh, I'm not certain about this. The seed's planted. And then they began to talk to some friends. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? The church is vulnerable, especially to the sin of murmuring, because it creeps in again through our hearts, and it'll also creep in when you have been hurt. Guard your hearts. It is so easy to get hurt in church. Somebody forgets to speak to you. Maybe it's a couple of weeks they don't speak to you. You get your feelings hurt. You don't get invited to something. They must not care about me. But you get your feelings hurt. You get sensitive. Why wasn't I asked to play on the basketball team? Because you're no good. But we won't go into that. But I get my feelings hurt. Be careful. That becomes an inlet for Satan. Let me give you a couple of quick quotes. I really like these. This is first one from E.M. Bounds. Gratitude and murmuring can never abide in the same heart at the same time. The essence of murmuring is a dissatisfied and an unappreciative heart. See that? Gratitude and murmuring can abide together. How can I thank God on one hand and then complain on the other? It's going to be one or the other. I pray that you lean to the gratitude. We need to be praising God and thanking God, not complaining. And the second one, could not find the author, simply says, no one who wants to get closer to God wants to be around a murmuring person. Did you catch that? No one who wants to get closer to God wants to be around a murmuring person. One seeking God, one seems to be pulling away from God. All right. That's murmuring. I need to hurry here. Verses 1 through 2. Saying that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food, so the 12 called the meeting of the believers. The apostles said we should spend our time preaching and teaching the word of God, not administering a food program. The disciples immediately saw a problem. We've got to get this dealt with, or instead of preaching a revival, we're going to be serving tables. We've got to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus said, go and make disciples. Well, suppose the temperature is not good. We just got back, or a group just got back from Belize. How was the temperature in Belize? Cool and fresh? Very hot, very humid. But yet you still went to make disciples. What kind of chairs did you have? Cushion chairs? Hard benches. But we still go and make disciples regardless of the discomfort. And we certainly don't focus on it. Murmuring can quickly control the focus. Everyone's attention goes to the people that are talking and complaining. A number of us have gone through a program called Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey. Teaches you how to manage your money, and you tell it what to do instead of it telling you what you can and can't do. But one thing he teaches too to businesses is how to run your business effectively. And one of the things he does in his business is this. When he hires somebody, he tells them, there is no gossip and talking about what goes on in this business among the workers. He said, none. He said, if someone catches you complaining, it's immediate grounds for dismissal. He said, the first time I might warn you, But it is immediate grounds for dismissal. And then as he explained to his audience, once people in a business get complaining, their productivity drops, their joy drops, and the whole business just begins to get distracted. It's not any different in a church. Now, John Maxwell, if you know his name, Kenny probably knows what I'm fixing to say. He was teaching about this thing of people murmuring and complaining and gossiping and talking. And he said a woman came into his office one day. And she sat down and she said, "Pastor, I need to tell you about something." He said, and all she was doing was gossiping about different people in the church and some things that were happening in the church. He said, "So this is what I did. Can you recall?" He said, "I put this finger in this ear, and I put this finger in this ear, and I screamed." He said, "She stood up and walked out." He said, "She never came back." He said, "You don't have to listen to it. Do something about it. Say, I'm not hearing it. Let's pray for them." Guys, when you see a problem, first thing you do, you own the problem. Okay? If you walk outside today, there's some weeds coming up in the flowers, and there are. Don't complain about it. Step over and pull a few of them. Or if it's a really big problem, you can't do it. Find somebody that you can go to and sit down with and say, "Hey, I noticed this happening." But let's figure out how to solve the problem, not just keep pointing at it. It destroys a unity, and we have to deal with it. All right. Ephesians, have we got this to go up? Get rid of all bitterness. We got that one. All right. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, this is how we should treat each other. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. We need to be kind to each other. We need to forgive each other instead of complaining about each other. Instead of complaining, we should give thanks. We must forgive those who have hurt us. You will get hurt if you get involved with people. That's just who we are. We, without thinking about it, we make decisions to do things that hurt others. Forgive them. We must guard our hearts from discontentment. Realize the devil wants to plant these seeds in your heart. You've got to stay close to Christ. We must stop murmuring and complaining. And then our final verse is verse 3 here. Now, look around yourselves, brothers, and select 7 men who are well respected, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we'll put them in charge of the business. What we need are focused and surrendered leaders, not murmurers. Murmurers kind of stay in the back. We need people who will take the lead and focus and be surrendered. The apostles used this issue that rose in the church to actually strengthen the church by reaching into the church and pulling out strong leaders to head up the ministry. So here's what I would have you think of quickly this morning. Instead of thinking about what you see that's not right, ask yourself this question. If they had selected me as a leader, would I have surrendered to the responsibility? the seven did. God used them greatly. God's not interested in our murmuring. He's interested in our surrendering. Yes, there will be problems we have to deal with, and we can deal with them with focused and surrendered people who put Christ first. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we have learned today about the sin of murmuring. When our heart gets distracted because we've become discontent, and instead of seeing all the great things you do for us, we focus on the things that bother us. God, forgive us. Forgive our selfish ways, our selfish attitudes. And help us instead, Father, to be like these seven men who allowed the apostles to do what they were called to do, and they said, we'll step in and we'll handle this ministry. God, may we have a willing heart. May we be focused on the main thing. And may, Father, you use us to do great things in your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.